Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to episode 154 of Star Wars and Scotch. Hey, right off the bat, I have to apologize for last week. My computer died when we were doing the outro.
Yeah, right at the end, right at the actual end. Like, we're like the last, like, sign off, say goodbye. It died. So,
it actually, I said, and Tim for the, and the force, may the force be with you part, and no one answered me. So, completely on me, my computer. I've done maintenance this week. And, you know, we should be good. So,
good job, Kevin.
But again, apologies. We had a really good discussion about Rebel Moon too, which makes me upset. But and I'll be all, Tim and I are going to be covering Rebel Moon when it comes out, part one and part two. Part one is at the end of December. So since we're off for Christmas, it'll be the first episode of 2024 where we talk about Rebel Moon. But Tim, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good, Kevin. I fell down a flight of stairs.
You did?
I went to San Antonio to play Magic, and Magic is very dangerous.
Apparently.
Yeah. Fell down a flight of stairs walking out of my hotel room, which, like, okay, it's not like my hotel room door was, like, down a flight of stairs. Like, it's not like I, like, good morning, down a flight of stairs. Like, I did the healthy thing where I was like, man, I could either go down the stairs or take the elevator. I'm like, I'm on the second floor. I might as well, right? And then I, gravity kicked my ass. So, that's where we're at.
And then you, like a badass,
The other part to the story is I dislocated my arm, and I just decided to set it back in myself. So, yeah, that was fun.
And if you, the funniest part, and I showed Danielle the messages that he was sending me, because I didn't know for like 2-3 days.
I didn't really tell anybody. I was kind of just like, I'll see how it goes.
He shows me the message, and he's like, he's like, the doctor said if I didn't work out so much that this would have been way worse.
Yeah,
and
he's right.
Oh, Lordy.
Yeah, no, the doctor was like, yeah, if it wasn't for the fact that you do so much like weightlifting and like, you know, conditioning and stretching and whatnot, you would have torn all of that apart. Yeah, I had like a minor dislocation. No tears, no nothing. Just popped out of place. And it was wild. My lat was sticking out. And it was wild.
See that, yep. Chat? It hit the gym. Hit the gym. I'm actually, after we record this episode, it's cardio day. Woohoo!
Good, Kevin. Proud of you. Good.
Yeah, I gained like 3 pounds and now I'm down 2, so I want to get under.
It's just inflammation. Literally 3 pounds just means that you put on some water weight and you need to poop. All that means.
Yep. I would have to agree with you.
But poop. Just poop, Kevin.
Just poop. There just poop. You go. Hey, speaking of poop.
That's a perfect segue for King's Coast Coffee.
Coffee makes me poop. So if you're looking for an A+ laxative, then tastes really good. Not really. King's Coast Coffee, everything holiday is out. I can't emphasize that to you enough. We got cocoa. Yep. We got holiday. I think there's even like one or two bourbon barrels left as of this morning. Don't, if you go tomorrow when this episode gets posted and it's not there, don't come to me and be like, Kevin, it's not there. It was up this morning and there was like 10 left. So if you want that bourbon barrel, go grab it. But it's all out there. It's holiday season. It's cocoa. That's what I'm the most excited about. We get the new bags. So if you haven't ordered from us or you're on subscription, you haven't got them yet, you're going to get the new bags. They're beautiful.
Yeah.
So, kingscoastcoffee.com for all of your holiday needs. And then how was is still the stuff out yet from Lab 77?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Our Twas the Night Before Christmas long sleeve shirt and sweater sweatshirt. That's available. And then we also have our we're trying out a few new evergreen items. So we have our signature line that is available, which I'm a big fan of. I actually did a signature on an iPad. Amy digitized it, which was really, really cool. So shout out to my wife for being a badass.
Amy.
And then also we've got a hat and we've got pajama pants. We've got loungewear as well. So few items that I'm really excited about, and I hope you guys are too. So head on over to lab77.co. The Christmas stuff will be available until next week, and then the evergreen items will just always be there. We even have a mouse pad / gamepad for those that enjoy playing Magic the Gathering.
My favorite part is the jacket has Tim's signature on it. Yeah. So if you're like, I mean, it's really clean. He showed it to me, Kevin. And it's clean as hell. So go get that. Go get that. And the Nightmare Before Christmas shirt is fire too. So I'm not a pajama pants guy, but if I was, I would wear them.
You would look great in this pajama pants. That's all I'm trying to say.
I don't wear pants.
That's fair.
To bed or around. So
he sleeps in the nude.
I do. Well, underwear. I'm a free person. So
okay, that's right.
You know. But yeah, so Lab 77 and GCX event tickets. I'm sorry you missed the Black Friday sale.
Ooh.
But maybe there'll be a holiday sale. We'll see. You know, that last minute gift. I missed Black Friday. I missed the on sale. I really want to surprise my significant other or my kids or my best friend or my cousin or, you know, your wife's brother's uncle's sister's former roommate with GCX tickets. Maybe, just maybe, that could be your last minute gift. You can put that in a little envelope, put it on a tree and be like, hey, we are going to Rosenshingle Creek in Orlando, Florida on August 16th and 17th to meet some of our favorite creators, play some fun games, go to some panels, see Star Wars and Scotch live. I could go on, but not everything has been released.
Tabletop Tavern. Just saying, come play Magic.
Tabletop Tavern's back. I almost said with Tim. And
No. Don't do that to me.
That would have been bad. That would have been bad. Around Tim. You can be in the same space as Tim playing Magic.
Yeah.
Is that good enough? Can I get younger?
Yep.
GCXevent.com. Get those tickets and get them while they're hot. Hot. So today we have a guest. This guest requested to be on the show. We don't know what they want to talk about. The only thing that our friend Elohim has said is, I want to talk about droids.
Yeah, they definitely wanted to talk about droids, but there was no detail as to what we were going to talk about.
Nope, just droids.
Get me on the show. So Kevin said, sure, why not?
Yeah, so arranged it with Elo. We've been talking about it for a few weeks. If you don't know Elo, he's a Twitch streamer, one of the OGs.
He's been around a long time. Yeah.
Original Twitch streamer. So we're going to dive into a conversation with him and get to know what he wants to talk about with droids. So here's a commercial break. I know it's a little earlier, but I didn't want to interrupt the conversation. So pay some bills and then we'll be back with Elohim. See you on the other side.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
All right, we have our guest on for this episode, episode 154. We have our good friend Elohim. Elo, it has been a while since I have gotten the pleasure of hanging out with you. How have you been, my friend?
I've been well. I actually took a 9-month hiatus off after 10 years of streaming.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, I need a break, like an extended break to feel what the real world is again. And I did that, and I came back a couple months ago. Everything's been fucking great. It was a nice little break there, get my head straight and all that good stuff. So good hiatus, doing well. Thanksgiving just passed, got some Korean barbecue, so I can't complain.
Nice.
All that good stuff. How have you guys been?
We've been good, man. COVID wasn't kind to our business, but aside from that, we've been good. Tim is soon to be a Twitch partner. That's the most exciting thing.
Fuck you, Kevin. Fuck off.
Yeah, I was keeping up with that a little bit.
You son of a bitch.
It's the one thing I have over you, dude. Like, let me enjoy these next.
Oh, God, you're so annoying.
It's the one thing I have over you.
Man.
Well, you know, if you keep at it, you know, you keep putting in some hard work. You know,
okay.
Sorry, I didn't skip a beat. I don't know. I don't know if we know each other that well yet. Yeah. But.
No, that's totally fine. You can totally throw it. No, we follow each other on Twitter long enough. It's totally cool. Yeah.
Just know, Tim, that they're probably going to deny you 3 times too, and then you'll probably get it. So
it's okay. I had a contract for 5 years, so cheers.
The weirdest thing, Elo, about his channel is I'll be sitting there, and when someone subs, it says he has negative, like, 1,000 subs.
Yeah, I owe Twitch money for leaving. That's what I got. That's what I get for getting a contract. Yeah, in my dashboard, it's a weird bug because the way that they, like, got rid of me when I went to Facebook. But when I came back as an affiliate, it showed negative 936 sub points. Like, I owed Twitch negative 930. Like, I owed them 936 subs. It was wild.
That's some mafia stuff. They're like, oh,
right?
Yeah,
isn't
that
wild?
You can go over to that other website, but when you come back, there will be expenses, young man.
There will be a fee, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So does that actually pop up in the chat?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
No way. That's hilarious, though.
Yeah, it's on my grind to 0 subs, dude.
See, yeah, so. That's in some ways like some unique flavor, man. You can really run with that. Yeah. Yeah, on my way to 0 subs. Yeah.
Help me get out of debt to Twitch as like a bar. That would be a good one.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I've never seen that before.
No, it was a new one for me. A lot of people did, and I showed it to a few Twitch employees, and they're like, ooh. So, ooh.
Yeah, man. Road to 0 subs. That's
road to
the
zero
title.
Subs.
Yeah, yeah, that's the title. Uh-huh. Make it happen. Yeah, that's funny, dude.
I know.
Never a dull moment.
No matter how many subs we give, Tim just can't get ahead.
Just can't get to 0. So,
and like as soon as you hit 0, it pops back to 900. Right? Like, you know, like the cycle reverses and continues. You never quite make it. It's your own personal hell.
Man. Really is like streamer hell.
Oh, man. Oh, Twitch. Well, we could talk about Twitch for days and days and days. But before we get going, speaking of Twitch, Ella, where can folks find you if they do want to watch you and they've never watched your content before?
Okay, I got a little bit of a disclaimer. I stream very early in the morning, Eastern time.
He does. Very early.
Yeah, yeah. So twitch.tv/Elaheim. It's been the same as it has been for 10 years now plus. But yeah, my go time is usually between 3 and 4 a.m. in the morning. And I'll go till 8 or 9 a.m., something like that. I know that a lot of people aren't up that early. And also, I gotta warn you, it is kind of like being at your weird uncle's house, too. Okay, we get into a lot of conversations. And, like, I feel very free at 4 in the morning to have certain conversations about all sorts of things. So, like, you know, just know what you're getting into if you join in. But, yeah, it's a good time. We have a great community. They some of them have been around all 10 years. I mean, we got multiple people that have like 100+ subs. So everybody's really chill. Fun time, fun community. So, but yeah, it's a little bit different. It's very early in the morning, but you're happy to join me if you find yourself, you know, up at that hour.
You're one of my I'm cooking breakfast for my kids streamers, so I can agree with everything you just said. The weird, especially the weird uncle, like, but I thrive on that stuff, so I'm all in. But yeah, you should go. Also, the other thing I love about your channel is you don't play the games that everyone's playing. You play some games I've never heard of. You went Alan Wake. I think you did Lethal Company like yesterday or today. I thought I saw
what a game.
Yeah, that one's kind of a gem. That was weird. Some friends of mine just were like, hey, you want to play Lethal Company? I was like, yeah, I saw the video. I was like, I'll give it a try. And I was like, oh, man, this is fun. This is a special one. Yeah, I like to, I mean, I'm variety. My biggest thing is like having fun first. If that falls in line with what's popular, like Alan Wake 2, like that is new and that's popular. But most people were done with that in the first week. I end up streaming it like 2 extra weeks. Just because I was like probing everything, you know, so it just depends. It can be all over the board, and that gets annoying too for some people. So they'll be like, "What happened to this game?" And like, "Oh yeah, we'll get back to that, you know, one day, you know, maybe we'll finish Cyberpunk. I don't know. What's going on with that. Yeah, I don't even know if I streamed it. Did I stream that? Maybe I did. I don't know. I can't remember."
And just so you know, it's not just gamers. We learned this. One of our business partners has gotten very big on TikTok with alcohol reviews. And he started with whiskey and bourbon. And then he tried to jump into tequila. And all of the whiskey and bourbon people were like, hey, what happened to our whiskey and bourbon?
Yeah!
And Tim was like, just like a streamer. It's the same thing. It doesn't change.
Just the internet.
Just little tribes, right? You know? Yeah. It's funny because some people I will never, like, I have some games that go back to every year. And when I go back to those games, those people show right back up. Like, that, like, you know, nothing's ever happened. But, you know, if I play anything else, you just won't see them. You know? Yep. People like their games. People like their tribes.
Yep. And they just the habits and all that stuff. But, so... The funny thing about this, and we'll get into this, but Elo actually DM'd me and he was like, Kev, I would love to come on Star Wars Scotch because I want to talk about droids. And Tim and I were like, droids, okay, we'll get into that later. But tell us, how does Star Wars start for you? Like, how old are you? What's your experience, your earliest memories, and how did it start to play into what made you who you are today?
Oh, man. Wow. So I mean, my earliest memories were like, you know, literally the first films. I was born with some very strict rules, and my parents were like born and raised Southern Baptists and stuff. So Star Wars was one of the few things that they were like chill about, and they would let me watch, and it like wasn't a big deal. So I remember watching the first movies. And I didn't know what was going on, like, because that's so far from anything I had seen. You know, most things I had seen, like, I don't Courage the I almost said Cowardly Dog. What's the old, like, old Disney stuff, you know, like I was allowed to watch, or, you know, just like some Disney movies, but not all Disney movies, you know. So like watching Star Wars, I was like, well, this is just a completely different beast here. I just like the idea of that, like, laser swords. That was what gripped me, was, you know, just the laser swords. Like, that. I was that young, you know. It's like, wow, those can cut anything? Wow! You know, like, that was where my mentality was at. But, like, as I grew older and I was able to get my hands, because I've always been a gamer, even back on like old Macintosh and stuff like that. So when games started to emerge, you know, like the old Kyle Katarn games, like Jedi Knight and stuff like that, and even older, you know, I can't remember the names right now. You guys know what I'm talking about though, probably. Like the Starfighter and stuff, even on like 64 and stuff, when they had like Rogue Squadron or like Pod Racing later and stuff like that. It's like that stuff like resonated with me big time, because as much as I liked the story of Star Wars, I always enjoyed like the fantasy of Star Wars more, like in my head, you know, like being a Jedi, being, you know, like getting the powers, being able to move things with my mind, all that stuff, that whole power trip thing, you know. So early on, it was that. And then, you know, over the years, obviously lore accumulated, and then they had the old new movies, which I enjoyed. I liked, everybody seemed to hate them, but at the time I didn't think they were great, but I thought they were good. I thought they were good enough for me, and I thought they were fun. And I mean, Revenge of the Sith, I still love that fight at the end of that. Like, I thought that was one of the most badass fights I'd seen in a while on film. So I was a little bit, you know, I was in a kind of a more immature place at the time. But then I started getting into like Legends stuff. I guess what you call it now is Legends. So I got into reading some of the books and like, you know, like Dash Rendar, I think his name was, from the 64 game. I started to see what he was up to. I wanted to, you know, because then it was like everybody was doing everything, you know, like the Jedi temple was the academy, you know, Luke was running the academy and all that stuff. It's like all those storylines. And like, I think her name was like Mara Jade. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I read that stuff. But like, I got into Legend stuff big. So, sorry, I'm going on like a tangent. Is this okay? Okay, so then comes in Disney, right, much more recently, and I stayed away from a lot of it. I just kind of wanted to live in my era and just kind of be there, and so I just kind of, I stuck with that stuff for a while. Now, I watched the new films. I did watch those eventually, but I didn't really like them that much. I liked Seven, was okay. And then I just was like, I don't know what the fuck is going on with 8 and 9. I don't know what's going on anymore. This is awful dog shit as far as I'm concerned. But that aside, I did enjoy that like Disney was starting to put out more content. Because I'm like a person that's like, I do like content when it's there, but I like to let it build up too. Yep. And so I got to a point like last year, like I guess before, or this year, excuse me, before like Ahsoka came out and stuff. And I was like, I should probably do some catch up. Like I hadn't watched Rebels. I hadn't watched Obi-Wan. I had watched Mandalorian season one. I think that was about it. So that's what kind of leads us to the droid thing. Cause my discovery of the new Disney mixed with my old mind, Star Wars, has got me a little kerfuffled over here. I'm a little weirded out on some levels, but
okay.
But I won't get to that quite yet if we don't want to. If you had other questions, but there is a method to this madness. I swear, like reaching out to you. And by the way, this is I'll get to it when I get to it. It's fine.
Okay. My other question would be, you know, when we talk about video games, and obviously that's how we all know each other, and huge roles or careers and whatnot, but when it comes to the games, like what is the game for you, the one Star Wars game that's undeniable, you will die on that hill and it's the best Star Wars game ever made?
Oh man, I gotta say, I think for me it's Jedi Academy. I think it's
such a good game.
I think it's the most incredible, especially for its time, like dual saber fighting.
Yep.
Like there were different forms, there were different paths you could take in the story. You could be good or evil. I mean, at the time, these were kind of big ideas. The level designs were pretty good. Some of them were a little lazy, but mostly pretty good. But I mean, the fights were awesome, and the online dueling,
the multiplayer was so good.
Oh yeah, wow.
So
oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, it was incredible. So I have a lot that I love, but I think that Jedi Academy takes the cake for me. I can always go back and just jump in that and turn on some lightsabers and run around off of walls and stuff doing flips and feel good about myself, especially at the end. And I don't mean to spoil this, but like if you go bad at the end, you're bet like everybody's your enemy.
Yes,
and it becomes like this insane, like 20 Jedi versus Sith brawl where everybody's killing everybody. And it's like so hard just to survive. Like you just get your ass kicked in that game so hard. But I love it. It's just like, I don't know, man. It just felt good. It was fun. I like the multiplayer. It's So that's the thing that popped in my head. So that's the one I'm going with.
What's your relationship with KOTOR out of sheer personal curiosity?
This is going to drive some people wild. I started the first one and I didn't finish it. I got about halfway through and I quit.
And, oh.
Sorry, why? I'm drinking a Coke, so I'm a little burpy. Ugh, excuse me. I can't remember if it was just like other games coming out or disinterest or whatever. But I didn't. I know I didn't finish it. I know I got through it to a point, and I just didn't finish it. But I played the second one, and I actually loved the second one a lot. In like, I know that people go crazy when I say that shit, but like the second one, for some reason, I'm a big lightsaber guy, so I was able to turn my dual saber white, you know, in that game, and you couldn't do that in the other one. And I just thought, oh man, this game's just got the customization I want. It's got, it can let me live out that fantasy a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So that's what kind of hooked me. And I liked the idea at the end of that game, if I'm not mistaken, that you like, I'm spoiling so many Star Wars games right now, but like you,
it's been out for forever.
I know. But I'm just like, I feel a little bad, but like you go, like the whole story ends where like, and you're going out into like the unknown to go hunt down more Sith kind of thing. Like that's kind of how.
Yeah. I literally just read this article about all these Star Wars games that never saw the light of day, whether they were conceptual or they did have some level of development, obviously like 1313's on there and the ones we know. But KOTOR 3 was on there, and I knew that there was an idea for it, and I don't know how far they got in it, but apparently the theme was supposed to be you going out and hunting Sith. That was going to be like a full adventure of you going across the galaxy and hunting Sith. They were going to triple the size or the amount of planets and like the areas that we could travel through. They were going to have the option to change the combat from turn-based to action. And that's part of the reason I was excited when the remake was announced. And now we have this ping pong of like, it's not coming out. It's coming out. It's not coming out. It's coming out. Apparently Sony pulled the funding. So Embracer is no longer, doing it, which I don't know if I'm Xbox and I'm spending all this money. I don't know why Phil's not on the phone right now. Like, hey, yeah. I'd love to screw Sony again. then last week, after we recorded our episode, they announced, or they're not the announcement, but people were like, I'm an employee and I'm still working on this game. So,
I kept up with that a little bit. Like, I just saw some tweets here and there through my feed, so I wasn't like on top of it. But yeah, it did seem like, okay, well, the story is not quite done. Whatever's going on over there isn't over, I guess. But to your point about the third game that didn't, that wasn't to be. I think one of the most interesting things that, or at least that I find interesting about Star Wars is like Sith culture. I feel a lot of that was tackled during Legends, but it hasn't really been tackled very much with, it's at least what I've seen so far with Disney. We don't get like too much about like, what are their buildings like? What does society look like? What is it like to be apprentice and a master? What does it look like to, we've got like inquisitors, right, that like go after these like in Rebels, that's the show that's going to spawn this whole conversation, by the way, is Rebels. But they've got like inquisitors that like go after the Jedi, that go after the team. And so like that whole dynamic and stuff to me is pretty interesting. Like most of them had to have been Jedi at one point, I guess, was one of the things they had mentioned, So the idea of like, at the end of Knights of the Old Republic 2, going off into Sith territory, which is something that is like never explored, especially not in games. I feel like I've never seen a game go into Sith territory. It's always been on obviously like familiar planets, you're on Tatooine, you're on, this planet, that planet, which makes sense because you want people to be familiar, but I like it when it does a little, it goes a little deeper, does something a little different. Like The Force Unleashed, that was another one that I really like because it literally just, for somebody like me who's multiple times referenced fantasy, like Jedi fantasy, Force Unleashed is like stupid, like it was just, you just pick up, 1,000 stormtroopers, throw them through, the trees of, Khajiit or whatever the hell, it's like, you can do whatever you want in that, but I like it that it kind of let itself, it didn't take itself so seriously. It let itself have fun,
Game.
Yeah.
It's that power fantasy that everybody wants in Star Wars.
Right. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it's powerful. This, the dark side, it's calling.
So a couple things too on the KOTOR. I think honestly, and I'm again being honest and transparent, I don't think you're wrong about KOTOR 2, because KOTOR 2 is the better game from a gameplay perspective, because all they did was take one and make it better from a gameplay perspective. The yeah. thing people get hung up on is the story is better in 1 than 2. 2 is not a bad story by any stretch of the imagination. It's actually one of the better video game stories I've ever played. 1 is just, it's an absolutely legendary story if you see it through to the end, which is why I'm excited for like my kids to experience it, because they're not going to sit down and play that old game. It's just, it's too old.
Yeah,
I'm trying to go back.
Too old.
It's too old. Old. So I wanted them to experience what I experienced in 1 and hopefully more, but you're not wrong in that. It's the systems are better. The customization is better. The gear is better. The combat is better. It's just not as good of a story as 1, which again, is completely fine.
Yeah. I remember how it ended, but like, if you were to ask me like the story beats, I'd be like, no clue. All I know is there's some old lady that every time I did something good, she was like, well, you should consider being bad. And every time I was bad, she's like, you know what? You could be nicer to people. You know? like she always just seemed to kind of edge me the other way that I was going. And I was just like, I don't know who you are, old lady. That's all I remember is that one old Jedi girl lady. I forget her name, but
Kriya. I'm trying to remember her Darth name, though. I can't remember it because she ended up being a Sith. What the hell was her Darth name? I can't remember. I'm going to get flamed for this one. Anyway.
Well, here it goes, Kevin.
It'll come to me as soon as we hit stop recording.
Don't you hate that?
Yeah, it's bothering me. The other thing you referenced on Sith culture, the only video game I've ever experienced where you got to like go into Sith territory and do that was the MMO. Not the old one.
Yes.
The newer one. You had Drummond Koss. You had Korriban was where the Sith Academy is. And you actually got to experience all these planets that were under Sith control and like their society and their politics. You know, a lot of the cutscenes had the Dark Council, which was the 12 Sith that, you know, ruled alongside of at the time it was the Emperor, and they had their own Senate. So very interesting, but that's the only game I've ever seen like dive into it and explore that.
Yeah, I was big into Galaxies when it released. I was a creature handler, and I actually just got done playing it like earlier this year or last year. They got the restoration server.
Yep.
I was playing on there a lot too. And I played the newer one, but I didn't play it for very long. I was very involved for probably like 3 or 4 months, and then I kind of went off and did my thing. And only thing I remember about that was just like abusing the PvP mechanics and getting like all the PvP gear like way too early and like Hutball or, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, I didn't get deep enough to get into that side. So that's exciting that at least somebody tackled it, because I always just thought that was such an interesting, because it's like, how do you guys even eat, or like, do you guys have dinner? Like, what's it like? You know, like, do you eat alone in cells? Like, you know, like, that's my question. It's like, how? Okay, so you guys are Sith and you're bad and you're always betraying each other and your apprentices are always going to kill your masters and stuff. It's like, but what's it like? Just when you got to use the bathroom, you know, like what is, like, do you, you know,
they had a very normal society. Honestly, I'm being completely honest with you.
Sure.
The funniest part was that murder was okay if it was justified within the confines of the Sith law.
Okay. So kind of like a drow kind of thing, like a D&D.
Exactly.
Okay.
Very similar to drow and D&D. Very similar. Like, you can murder your master if you're trying to, you know, make the right moves to move up in Sith society. Now, members of the Dark Council were off limits, so there's a whole storyline where one of them gets killed and you're trying to figure out who it is and all that stuff. But there is a very normal part of their society where there's housing and families, and, you know, because not everyone's a Sith. They're part of the Empire. So it's very similar. Now, it is an oppressive regime and all of that stuff, but it felt fairly normal. Obviously, you're on a planet, it's perpetually lightning and thunderstorms and all that stuff to make it super evil. But
that's nice.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's your ideal thing.
Yeah, I'd vacation there. Yeah.
Yeah, in Rebels, they do end up going to, like, an old Sith, like, they're looking for, like, the, I don't know if you would call it a holocron when it's Sith, but I guess it's still a holocron. I'm not
sure. Yeah, it's a Sith holocrons.
Okay. I didn't know if there was, like, another word for there specifically, but they go there, and I love the, like, architecture where it's all, like, you know, like, like a necropolis, you know, kind of thing, pyramids, you know, the like monolith kind of stuff. Like, I love all of that aesthetic. But yeah, that's what I've been getting into is just going back and trying to catch up. Because I asked my buddy, I was like, if I'm going to watch Ahsoka, what do I need to watch first? And he's like, you need to watch Rebels. Like, you got to watch Rebels. And I would never touch Rebels just because the animation is not really my style.
Sure.
But I was dedicated to it because I want to watch Ahsoka with the most information possible. And he was already however many episodes in. But like watching through and trying to catch up has broken my brain in a way. All right. Like, I live in like this old world, but also coming into the new world of like Disney. I'm not like a super fanboy, but I'm not like somebody off the street either. You know, like I know my Star Wars pretty well, but there is like, I don't know. Okay, listen, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I just needed a place I could go to and have a real conversation and go deeper into stuff that probably shouldn't go deeper into. And when I tried to do this on stream, I got too many replies like, you're thinking too much into it, bro. You're thinking, oh, it's a kid's show, or like, you're going too far and stuff. And honestly, I just wanted a place that was willing to do, like, where we know that and we can still have that conversation, right?
This is a safe place.
That's what I needed to hear. Now, you don't have
the safe Star Wars place.
Yeah, you can tell me you're reading too much into it. That's what you feel. But I don't want it because like it's a kid's show or something, like it's beyond scrutiny, or like we're not allowed to ask these questions because like we're just supposed to kind of smile it off and it's Star Wars, you know, that kind of thing, which I'm happy to do. But I felt like when I saw on Twitter, you know, you guys were doing the show, I was like, these two would be like the perfect people to just bounce some ideas off of.
We're your guys.
And not feel that judgment, you know, that I'll say hatred from chat, okay, for me going into these topics. But there is one character that has broken my fucking brain, dude, and it's Chopper.
Yes, the warlord. Okay.
He's a war criminal.
He is, to me, a completely, like, fun. I acknowledge that, but ultimately weird and like completely nonsensical character to me. Like,
you know who voices him?
No.
Dave Filoni, who's now the CCO of Lucasfilm.
And when he voices it, he actually voices it with English.
Yes.
He's not going. He is actually speaking his lines, and then they go in and they modulate it post.
What? What? Okay, well, maybe that's why this personification kind of thing is happening with this character specifically, maybe. It's not just that, though. It's like catching up on other things. So here's my big thing in my head is like, what the fuck are droids, man? Like, what is their purpose? Like, what are they for? Like, what do you do with them when they like quote unquote malfunction? Why can they just like break their code and become somewhat, you know, for lack of a better term, sentient? Not that they are, you know, but like that's another thing too, is like, I'm sorry. I'm going off like a, I'm just saying that like there's so many weird contradictions, both in how they present the droids, but also how they want their audience to feel about the droids. And like, sometimes I'm supposed to feel sympathetic towards droids. Sometimes I'm supposed to feel like they're just tools and we can treat them like shit. And then sometimes I'm supposed to like care about them as like a character, as a person. But then sometimes it's made obviously clear that they are like not sentient and they are just, you know, code, right? And in some cases, like with like Solo, things just get wacky, okay? That shit just gets wacky with like, you know, like oppressed people, like slavery stuff. I mean, even in the old movies, they sort of had that vibe where it was like, they got like pseudo tortured, I guess. Remember that scene where they're like burning the bottom of that one's feet?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, does that teach it something? Like, I don't understand. It's like, because to me, these are supposed to be. You know what? Let me back up. What do you guys think of droids before we get into this? Like, how have you felt about droids, like, going into this? Like Star Wars in general, you're like, you think about droids. What do you think? Good, bad, fun, whatever.
Tim?
I've always had a love-hate relationship with droids. I would have to agree with you. Like, now, like, I really haven't put a lot of thought to it. But there are, like, hero droids, right? So you've got your C-3PO, your R2-D2, your choppers and things like that. So like those are like the top of the food chain. So those are hero droids that everyone loves and knows. Like you don't have like a bad guy hero droid. Like there's no antagonist droid. All the droids that are really cool are protagonists. And then after that, you've got the droids that serve a purpose and they're also sentient. Like they can think for themselves, but they're still tools. And then under that, you then got the basic bitch workers, the guys that are like the gonk droids. Those are just like mobile power units. They don't do anything other than just deliver power. Like that's all that they can do. I've never understood the whole like burning of the feet and torturing droids. Like that would be weird. Like they would need pain receptors in the bottom of their feet in order for that to work. But I think that was also too, like, it was George Lucas's way of portraying like the cruelty of like Jabba and his henchmen. Like you wanted to create like a really cool bad guy within like the sense of like what they had to work with. And also at the same time, like you didn't want to like completely, reenact like 1942, like, so, Nazi Germany. Like that's the whole idea of like all of the bad guys are supposed to be like all these like baddish right. criminals from the 40s, from like World War II and things like that. So like, I think there's a unfortunate mixture of like storytelling and like, and kind of going farther and deeper into imagination. But at the same time, I think there's like three tiers. I think that's like where we kind of like fit, like we work in Star Wars world is like, you've got your heroes that are always good guys. You've got like the mix of good guys and bad guys that aren't heroes, but they're still like, they serve a purpose, but they also kind of have like their own characteristics, their own personalities, like IG-88 and like IG-10, R5-D4, like all of these, like they're not like hero characters, but they're also like, they're well-known like robots that kind of like do their own thing and people know them for certain things. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, they made total
That's kind
sense.
Of like, that's how I've always thought about droids. You know, destroyer droids, like I would put them at the bottom of the list. Like those are just like, that's cannon fodder, assault droid that doesn't think about anything other than killing, you know, or like the interrogation droids from the Empire. Like they're not sentient. They don't do anything other than what they're told. And like, they just have one purpose.
You talked about hero droids. You didn't mention K2SO. He's like the hero droid, Tim. He sacrifices himself to get the Death Star plans.
Yeah, but like,
I'm gonna help you, LO. I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
There's two things I want to mention here. On the level of what Tim is saying, yes, there are different types of droids for different functions, but there's a piece of all of this that is already in canon that we know of, and that's restraining bolts. Restraining bolts are very important to this conversation because certain droids have their restraining bolts, certain don't, and that's one thing that can, you know, maintain droid programming versus reprogramming versus having it have free thought. Another thing I want to bring up, and this is all legends. I don't know if this exists in canon, so someone will correct this on Twitter, I'm sure. There have been droid rebellions throughout Star Wars history where the droids will rise up. I actually believe is it in Clone Wars? Isn't there one?
It's Solo.
There's one in SWTOR too. It's a whole.
They even talk about it in freaking in Ahsoka or in Mando. It's the episode with Lizzo and They talk about the droid. With Jack Black. They had a whole like droid rebellion, didn't they? Like that's what they were afraid of, robots.
Yeah, so it's a thing where they'll get sick and tired of everyone's bullshit and start to, you know, become more sentient, or it just takes in SWTOR, there's a whole, they called them flashpoints, if you remember, those were the dungeons. There's a whole flashpoint where you fight droids that took over a planet and are rebelling. But the whole thing Smith started with one droid removing all of the other droids' restraining bolts and then moving on. So, yeah, I think the restraining bolts and the hierarchy of, like, kind of how they're laid out are pseudo the answer to your question. I know it doesn't answer it 100%, but, like, that's kind of how they work. Some are conditioned to be worker bees. One that great example, I don't know if you watched the Obi-Wan show, but in the middle is the loader droid. Doesn't speak. Its only purpose was mainly to just be manual labor, but at some point it ends up working for the resistance and ends up sacrificing itself to hide folks that are on the run.
So. Right. And, like, I understand that Star Wars has always been a little ambiguous with their technology, right? They're not going to allow us to, like, get the... And that's kind of part of the fun, you know? But at the same time, okay, so the... Okay, in Rebels, that happens too, actually, with the restrictor plate or restrictor bolt or whatever it is. They have a chopper meet another robot on, like, the Empire ship, and then he's able to knock his thing off, and then he's able to help him. They're like friends, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that's how they make friends. So, I just, for me, I look at the droids as, like, toasters, right? Like, in a very, like, Battlestar Galactica, if anybody's seen it. Like, I'm not a, like the Cylons are toasters, all right? That's what they are. You can dress yourself up like a human, but you are absolutely a droid. Like, you're made out of code. By definition, you are not sentient, right? So, it gets a little weird for me when I have a character like Chopper, which, when I'm watching it, like, he is unpredictable and he's dangerous and, like, he's not above his code. Like, Ezra is a kid and he's constantly, like, running over his toes and stuff. So I'm like, okay, so this robot is, like, has no problem hurting children, like, and laughs most of the time. And it's like an animated thing for kids. So he's like, it's supposed to be like, uh-huh. But it makes me think, like, why would you ever have such a crazy killing machine on your ship? And I understand that Hera has history with him, right? But, like, but at a certain point, if I woke up one morning and I went to go make toast, my toaster's like, hey, man, you know, it was real funny this morning. I burnt your daughter. It was crazy. I just felt like it. You know, I just thought it would be funny. You know, I'd be like, I'm going to probably get rid of you, or I'm going to replace you. We're going to get a new toaster, you know? And that's where, like, the idea where it goes into, like, the movies where, like, C-3PO gets, like, wiped. You know, I think that's what the purpose of, like, wiping them is. Like, when they start to get out of line, right?
Yeah, or, like, starting fresh.
Right, you reboot them. Like, you, like, start fresh. You just, boom, wipe them. So I'm looking at this, and I'm like, these people have these, like, missions where maybe the autonomy of Chopper being able to do his own thing is good, but he is a malfunctioning droid. I'm giving, this is my good faith interpretation, right? But, like, he is a malfunctioning droid with, like, what is to be considered war PTSD, you know, that's, like, unhinged and, like I said, just as likely to maybe get you killed as he is to help you.
I mean, like, yeah, R2-D2 is essentially, like, the same character. Like, R2-D2, like, could do almost anything that Chopper can do. Like, at one point, he, like, catches a bunch of robots on fire with oil and a flamethrower.
You know, right, like, but at least he's not, like... But I don't know why Chopper seems so much more unhinged to me than, like,
I think R2-D2. It's because he actually talks. I think that's the part that... And he laughs unhinged. And shit. He is unhinged. R2-D2 is as unhinged. We're listening to... Kyler, my son, he is listening to the audiobooks for From a Certain Perspective, the How to Be a Jedi, the Return of the Jedi one, or, like, Learning to Be a Jedi. It's Empire Strikes Back. It's from, like, a certain point of view or a certain perspective or whatever that whole line of books is. But anyways, he talks about R2-D2 cursing at him the entire time. Apparently R2-D2 just curses at Luke the entire movie.
See, now that's awesome. Now
I had no idea. Yeah, but apparently that's what R2-D2 does. Every time he's just like, he's just like swearing like a sailor. And yeah, I love that.
I always, like, growing up, I always thought the droids always felt like I don't know why, but I always felt like one of the droids, you know, like if you're in the story, you're probably one of the droids. Like you're just like kind of there, but you're not. And you're watching and like, you know, you're like you're helping and you're kind of there for the adventure. Like I feel like their perspective is very human in the first movies. Like a lot of it is seen through their eyes. There's a lot of scenes with just them. The very first scene of the very first movie is them, is the droids. You know, mm-hmm. and them being on the desert and feeling stranded and following them through everything, you know, like they're I mean, they are like the catalog or the, you know, whatever they catalog everything. They've been there for everything. Right. But then like you get to a scene like way later in the movies. I know it's been passed down through a million different ideas and directors and stuff like that. But like the scene with C-3PO where they wipe him. Right. In yep. in the newer movies, I can't remember which one exactly it was. They all kind of meld together, but I think it was the very last one. Like, I think it was 9 where they wipe C-3PO. And it's like this simultaneously, like this really touching moment where we're going to lose all this character's history and this, all this, whatever. But then like also they play it off like this extremely funny moment, like, you, when you're watching, I remember being in the theater when I watched it and people were like sad for a split second. And then they're like, well, he's wiped. Let's move on. You know, like,
is this the scene with Babu Freak?
Yeah.
I remember being very sad. Like we're going to lose this character, but he had to get his memory wiped in order to read the Sith hieroglyphs. Right.
Yeah. Cause it was the only language he wasn't allowed to read.
Right. Yeah. But then at the same time, yeah, they kind of brush it off and like, he didn't actually lose his memory. Right.
Well, like Poe laughs about it.
He gets it back.
Like,
right.
I think he did. I can't remember. I just remember in that moment, like Poe, like the people there don't seem to give a shit about him, really. Like,
well, because they see them as tools. They don't see them as people.
Right. But then you got, okay,
some of them do. There are sympathizers. There are droid sympathizers. But at the same time, there are a lot of people who have a negative connotation towards droids because of the Clone Wars.
I would also venture to say, too, yeah, that's a great point. You know, the Clone Wars did a number on droid reputations. But I would even venture to say that there are some people that when they spend more time with a droid, they're almost grown. Because remember how Han is so abrasive to C-3PO? When he
and by the end, they're like and buddies.
By episode 6, he's like his bro. So. Yeah. It also comes with the relationship of, like, the connotation of, well, we fought against a bunch of droids in the Clone Wars, so they're a bunch of assholes. And it's, again, with all the rebellions and stuff, it's not the first time the droids have pulled a stunt like that. And the more time you spend with a droid, I think you might get to know them as a person. Even in Mando, I know you said you only watched the first season, but he hates droids in the first season because he was a child during the Clone Wars. But right. as time goes on, he needs droids for purposes, and he actually, I won't say he develops relationships with them, but he understands.
I'm all caught up on Mando now. So,
nice.
Yeah, so even using like his husk basically is like a little turning mech.
Yes.
And R5 as well. If without R5, they don't get out of the
right.
You know, they don't stop getting at the end.
Right. It's such a staple thing. So this is okay. So this is where it all came down for me in my head. It wasn't just Chopper. Chopper got me there. I was like, okay, why are they here? Why don't they just keep them as tools? They can probably function better if they would just listen half the time, especially
yeah,
like
take
Chopper.
The personality out.
Yeah, and so like, but then I was just thrown for a loop with, I believe it was Solo. I'm like 99% sure it's Solo, where Lando has the robot that is like rebellion robot, like. Doesn't have its restrictor, is like all droids are slaves. We're going to have the freedom. We're going to do all this. And there's this emotional scene where she's like, I'm saying she because it has a female voice, but I mean androgynous. But the droid starts like a rebellion, starts like freeing all these droids and letting them loose. And there's this scene where she gets like shot. And then Lando runs up and is like holding the droid, like, oh, because it was like his Chewie, basically. Mm-hmm. And being like, oh my gosh, like, you know, I'll always remember you. And like, you know, this is super emotional moment. And she like shuts down. And then it's revealed, and this is what fucked me in the head, dude. It's revealed that he uploaded her to the Millennium Falcon, and now she is part of the ship. So first of all, that messes me up because I'm like, this was a droid that sought freedom, right? That like wanted to be free and autonomous and live its own life and everything. And what you've done is you've shoved it into a jail and made it perform functions back to droid status. Millennium Falcon may have personality, but it is something that listens, does things. Like it is a ship, and it is, she is confined there, right? Like doesn't have any sense of freedom there. And then I thought, and then Lando just gambled her away on like a whim, like knowing that that ship was supposed to be his friend that he held and like uploaded her. And then he's like on a hand of cards, is like, let's deal them and deal them.
Wanted to have sex with the Millennium Falcon. I think that's really what it comes down to.
Help me here, because maybe I'm missing some context or whatever, but like
Lando. Lando's your context.
Yeah, Lando's the problem.
He's not
the best relationship person. There's a book called Shadows of the Sith that came out last year or the year before.
You remember the title.
For once, I know.
You did it.
And Lando's a huge character in that book, and it talks about his daughter.
Yeah. Oh man, that was so sad.
And at first he's a really good dad, but eventually he starts to be the absentee father, and he's not with the mom anymore. As we know, he's a ladies' man. Like, let's call it what it is. He loves the ladies.
Good for him.
So I think that Lando is just not good at relationships in this specific scenario, and being selfish, he was like, well, I want L337 to be a part of me forever, so I'm gonna upload her to my ship. And as you said, that is not what she would have wanted. And then
you guys agree with that part though?
Yeah, 100%. But I'll be honest, I really didn't think about it until just now. So
I didn't either. So yeah, I think you're completely on point. But
that makes me rethink the entirety of the Millennium Falcon though. Like, damn.
Also,
that poor ship.
Lando's a gambler. So Lando's mentality is, I'm not going to lose my ship. I'm going to win more by putting my ship on the
line. Right. I can totally get with that mentality. That it just, like, for me, it was so hard going from, like, I'm holding you in my arms in this very emotionally charged scene to, all right, what do you got? Show me what you got. You know, like, it's like knowing he's like gambling this droid away. So
I think this also suffers though from the writing of Lucas and the development of Lando in the Millennium Falcon in the 70s. Sure. And then trying to do the whole Solo movie and trying to make it all make sense. Like, it's I really wish they wouldn't have uploaded the robot to the Millennium Falcon, because the Millennium Falcon goes through so much shit.
Right.
Oh, I hate it.
I mean, go ahead.
I'll take it a step further for you. When your dog passes away,
you're
over it. But you got to understand this, and I'm being real. I'm a dog person. I love my dog. I've had 4 dogs in my life, and I've cried over 3 of them because the other one's only 4 years old. But the dog loves you more than you love the dog. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah, you're their whole world.
Your family is everything to that dog, and it's the only thing that matters and exists. When the dog passes away, you're really upset, but in a week, some people are getting a new dog. Maybe it's 3 months, maybe it's 6 months, maybe it's a year. I think, Tim, it took you like 4 years, right?
Before it took us a bit dog.
So everyone moves at their own pace. But even Jason Heitman, his dog passed away, and by the next weekend he had gotten 2 new dogs from the Humane Society, you know, to bring that back into his life. So I'm not saying droids are dogs, but I'm using the comparison that your dog,
they treat them like dogs though,
more than you love your dog. No matter how much you love your dog, I don't care. Your dog loves you more than you love your dog.
Right. Okay. And I think that's fair. Let me throw the other side of this. Okay.
Go for it.
They have, in somewhat of a, you know, like a la, what is it? Warhammer 40K. Have put the soul of the droid into a box that they now fly around and continue to give commands to and continue to keep in confinement for all of eternity. It's basically like that robot's specific personal hell. Yeah. And that to me is like, it's not just like your dog passed away and you're getting a new dog. It's like your dog passed away and then you took him, you embodied him, you put him in a cat. And then you had to, and then he had to be a cat for the rest of his life. And you know that dog hated cats, you know? Like, that's what it is to me, too. So I get what you're saying. I think you're doing a lot to explain Lando to me, right? And I appreciate
Lando's
that.
Selfish.
Right. And I think that the levels of his selfishness, maybe, especially gambling, I think is totally fair. However, I feel like story-wise, I wasn't like, when they're talking, they like, she's in the ship now. It's like supposed to be this like magical moment. Like all along, this is what made the Millennium Falcon special, was it was housed with the soul of a robot that never wanted to be a robot to begin with. You know, it's like powered by, you know, enslavement, basically. You know, it's like, Jesus Christ. So as I've been catching up, I've just been like, brain broken by these droids, man. Like just in these instances I'm giving you, just between like C-3PO getting his mind wiped and the weirdness of that whole scene, and then like Chopper and how dangerous he is, and like how much autonomy he gets to like do things, but also like how callous they are towards them, because they are sort of like at best dog-ish, at worst it's a slave or it's a tool or whatever, you know. And then the whole Solo thing, and I'm just like, man, I don't know how they want me to feel about droids. Like, I feel like droids are just this, like, thing that they just throw out where, like, I don't know, man. And, like, for some people, like, not having the droids is, like, not Star Wars. Like, you have to have a droid, you know?
It is a staple, I would agree. Yeah. All heroes need a sidekick droid.
Right, but I'm starting to think, like, you know, maybe they need to figure out what the fuck they're doing with that.
I think they kind of did with Grogu. Like, they didn't give Mando a droid. They gave him like a cute little baby Yoda.
Right.
You know, like, Han Solo got Chewbacca. Like, I would love more of those kinds of sidekicks than I would robots, to be honest.
Yeah, that's how I think that's starting to get how I feel now, is like, I'm tired of thinking about them, because, and we're not even talking about like the pseudo slavery aspects of that and the shallowness of that aspect, right? Because that is something that comes up, is that they are either an oppressed people, you know, like you said, rebellion, stuff like that, the droids being overworked, being over, you know, there's like a whole slavery aspect to it too.
Yep.
That like they want you to think about, but they don't want you to like examine. And they won't really allow you to on any like lore level, really. It's all very surface level. So it's like, I don't even know. Like, sometimes I feel like they're real people. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes I feel like they're a race of like their own race. Like, they're just like the aliens. You know, they're just another alien race, a Twi'lek or whatever. You know, like, they're just one of the, but then sometimes we're supposed to see them as like tools. And so, I don't know, man. I just want to nerd out with a couple of dudes who knew some stuff, and we could, like, you know, just talk about that a little bit. Just because it just, I don't know. If it, like, it's starting to, like, make less sense to me, where something used to be so simple in my head is now, like, outrageously complicated.
But isn't that the complexity of lore? Like, as you expand a universe and you create more, is you have inconsistencies that maybe when you had this tiny little thing that fit in a box, as it expands and grows, you just start to, you know. Remember the guy at BlizzCon like 7 years ago who questioned Chris Metzen on some dwarf lore that no one had ever thought of? And Chris went,
Redshirt guy.
I don't know. I guess we'll fix that. You know, it's like,
yeah.
The guy who created the universe couldn't answer the question. So it's things like that happen, and we start to run into inconsistencies. And we find them all the time, to be honest, with Star Wars. You know, Tim and I will be like, that doesn't make sense because this happened, or so on and so forth. And it creates great conversations with the community and with folks like yourself. I will say, though, Adam, you have brought the most interesting guest topic to the show.
I would have to agree.
Yeah.
I'm also learning a lot about droids right now. I went to Wikipedia. Did you know there's 5 classifications of droids?
I did not.
There's 5 tiers. First class of droids. First class was made up of droids skilled with mathematical, physical, and medical sciences. Second class droids. Droids of second class were skilled in engineering and technical sciences. Third class droids. Third class droids were skilled in social sciences and service functions. Examples include the CZ secretary droids, the LEP service droids, the FAV valet droid, and a BD-3000 luxury droid.
Fourth class droids are going to be your military and security function droids, and fifth class droids are going to be manual labor and intensive jobs that did not require a high level of intelligence. Also, where the soul of a droid is located is the neural core.
Crazy.
There we go. There's some information.
Does it happen to mention why they even have restrictor plates? Like why is that an idea? Like
restraining bolts? Restraining
bolts. Why do I keep saying restrictor plates? I'm thinking of like old school when Will Ferrell's working. I was like, yeah, I took out the restrictor plate. It's not exactly street legal. You know, like, I don't know why I keep thinking about that.
Oh my God, you just took me back.
Yeah.
It's to make sure the droid performs its protocol because the neural interface does have, like Tim said, they have a soul, which means they can make decisions. So the restraining bolts are in place to make sure that the decisions follow the directive.
Here's your official entry in the Wikipedia as to why there are restraining bolts. The Galactic Empire fostered anti-droid sentiments, treating droids as property. Many sentients continued the Clone Wars policies of wiping droids' memories, fitting them with restraining bolts and curtailing them, curtailing their movements. Several establishments also excluded droids. So I think the restraining bolt was just another way of just oppressing the droid.
Yeah.
It was a part of that entire movement of just oppressing droids because of how things were handled in the Clone Wars. Also, also the High Republic, too. Also in the High Republic, because the droids are breaking away and joining the Nihil.
Yeah, it just seems so weird to me that you would create something that has so much autonomy that you would have to keep it down so bad. And then, like, on top of that, like, okay, so we're saying the word oppressed, right? But do you, like, oppress your toaster? Like, when you force it?
But my toaster also doesn't have feelings, though.
Right, but like, that's what I'm saying. Is like, does it have feeling? Like, does it actually have feelings? Or is that part of the coding? Like,
that's the whole theology. We're getting into the gray area. That's what we're getting into. This is Ghost in the Shell.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, it kind of gets there, but
it does 100%. But I feel like anything, like, again, like going into like your hero droids, like your class one droids, the first tier, the things that are really smart. I feel like, those would be your sentient droids. Those are the things that are free thinking. Those are your droids that are up there, with the senators and whatnot, and like, in the medical rooms and making those decisions. So yeah, I would say like those, I'm honestly surprised that we never had a droid representative in the Republic. Like, honestly, I mean, like, they're always like, everyone's thinking about the clones. Like we were Senator Chuchi is fighting for the clones and their, they require rights and things like that, but no one's fighting for droid rights. So yeah, it's really interesting.
Because even if you're a droid sympathizer, they're still less than. That's the true mentality.
Yeah, right. Like, see, now I'm on the other side of the thing, and I'm like, if we've gotten to the point where they need representatives, we've gone too far with our technology. We gotta reinvent this thing. We gotta like if you want like a robot to be like, let's say a class five, like you said, or like a whatever five, something that just lifts a stone and sets it down somewhere else, right? Just a mundane job. Like, that is valuable in and of itself. And it may be at the cost of having these things have so much like autonomy and sentience. Maybe we should have just stopped there. I'm on the other end of it. I know there's no fun in it. I get that. I get that. But like, also I'm thinking like, man, how did it, like, what's interesting to me is like, how did it even get this far? And like, how long has it been this far? Because if, depending on how far back you go, if droids have been doing this for thousands and thousands of years or whatever, or hundreds of years, whatever the time scale is there, like, that's an insane amount of time. Like, now this is where I feel like I'm getting a little too deep. It's just like, that's like an insane amount of time for like, that idea to exist without it going one way or the other, right? At some point over the hundreds of years, they would have gone, okay, we need to make a choice about these droids. Are they people or are they not people? Do they have that kind of, like, these problems that are just now kind of popping up or still popping up with like rebellion and droids, and they're still building droids and manufacturing them, right? It's still kind of in the infancy of really what that idea should be. It's kind of got a discrepancy with the timeline that it's existed. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, these problems would have existed for hundreds of years, right? Like, why now are they popping up, or why? I guess I'm asking an impossible question. I'm just, these are the things I'm thinking about, right? Like when I'm thinking about, like, and I go too deep, but it's just, I don't know, man. It just, like, I think the droids are interesting. I think they're one of the most interesting parts of it, because they're not people. They're not necessarily just bolts, you know, like they are in that middle ground. And so it's like, you don't know how to feel about them, which I think harkens back to what you said, Tim, which is like, sometimes I have a love-hate relationship with them. I think that kind of is where that, I think that line is where you're at, where it's like, sometimes I feel this way, sometimes I feel this way. Like, there's kind of like a duality with them.
Very much so.
One thing you have to remember too is, when it comes to making decisions in the galaxy and the galaxy deciding things, it never happens because the galaxy is huge. And word doesn't even get to some places on some things. I mean, look at how they were able to, you know, the Jedi in A New Hope are an ancient and hokey religion, that whole thing. And it was like less than 20 years ago.
Yeah.
The galaxy is so vast that they can never, that's why even the droids that you see in the Outer Rim in Episode 4, they're kind of old and rusty and used. Obviously the Jawas are scrapping them for stuff, but stuff that gets to the Outer Rim is not the nice new stuff that happens on Coruscant and the core. So anything like a droid rebellion may pop up over here. They may not even hear about it over here ever.
That's
because
true.
It's so far removed, because the galaxy is so vast. Like, there are cultures in these High Republic books that they're meeting for the first time.
Yeah.
And you know, that don't even have technology to fly, or they choose not to have the technology to fly to other planets. They want to live a simple life. So there's the galaxy is just vast. And I think that's part of the issue, is with not being able to, like, make concise decisions as a government or whatever. And there's always turmoil with this one taking this one, rebels over here, people getting rid of this. The Empire, you know, the one strength they had was actually unifying everything under their command for however long it was.
Yeah.
Before the rebellion really started to break everything apart. So that's another thing too, is like, why? Yes, these problems persisted over time, but there's the cyclical thing, which is part of this story in Ahsoka, which Baylan's trying to break, is like, new regime comes in, does X, they mess up, next one comes in, they mess up, or this part breaks off and does that. It's a mess. It is an absolute mess. But that's the joy of the storytelling, is that the galaxy is an absolute disaster of a mess. So yeah, that could be why too.
Yeah, I had a question, maybe you guys know offhand. Assassin droids.
Ah.
Are those working for themselves, or are they working, because I know they take bounties, but are they autonomously working for themselves, or are they controlled by some crime lord somewhere?
So bounty hunter droids are either in business for themselves, or they usually have a partner or a collective they're a part of. The HKs, the assassins, the dude from
the Hunter Games, Killers.
The Hunter Killers, which you see them in Ahsoka and they were in Mandalorian. They work for a warlord or a crime boss or somebody, and they're sent out to kill.
Okay, because I remember, like, I think it was HK-47 from, yeah, like, that's the only one I'm really familiar with. I mean, besides the one in the Mandalorian. But I wasn't sure if some of them were just working for themselves. So they do have just, like, a totally autonomous, like that's so strange that, like a robot would have, like, that's what they want to do with their life. You know, like, what do they do with the money? What do they do with the money? Do they, like, buy themselves something? Like what's the, is there, like, a purpose to their passion of being a bounty hunter? Or is it just simply, I just like to hunt bounties, so that's just what I do? Or, like, I don't know, man. I need answers for this shit, man. I need a show about an assassin droid and what he does on his
what
day-to-day.
He does his off time.
Yeah. Now he's got all the, you know, all the bounties lined up. He's got all the credits. Like, is he going to Vegas? You know, like, is he retiring to his farm? Does he just do this until he stops and he's no longer, you know? It's like, it's hard for me to imagine. I guess the point I'm making is, like, it's hard to me imagine sentience without purpose. Right.
Yeah. Right.
So, right. A lot of times when I think about the sentience angle, it makes me think, for what purpose? What fulfillment are they getting, or where does that come from? Is it really coming from like a soul and a fulfilling soul kind of way, or is it coming from like a nuts and bolts like code kind of way? Like are just performing functions, right? Because that's what it would be if there was no purpose or anything like that.
You're also comparing, you mentioned Battlestar Galactica, they have a purpose. The Cylons have a purpose. They want to be human, or as human as they possibly can be. You mentioned Warhammer 40K. The Necrons have a purpose, you know. So everyone, we're comparing to things where the purpose is more known. Again, Star Wars is an absolute beautiful disaster of a mess. Yeah. So the IG droids, the joke I said before was, you know, oil baths ain't cheap. So maybe that's why he's doing it. Who the hell knows? It could be anything. But IG acts independently. He was part of their collective.
Yeah.
If he got the bounty, he would have gotten the credits. So.
But he was still operating within certain parameters, though. Like, he had things that he had to do, and he couldn't break away from like the instructions that he was given. Like, he had to terminate. Like, he had to do this thing. So, like, there are limitations. Like, they do have like things that they can't break away from. Like, they do have like protocols.
Right. Very true. This is the craziest.
Droid discussion is my favorite Star Wars discussion ever, because it is an infinite rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and you see where my brain has been, and I had no one to discuss it with, really, besides my stream, which did not want to hear it. All right. They were like, not on board for this.
Like, oh crap, here comes the droid discussion again.
Yeah. It was very much like that.
Okay, and they were like, crazy.
They're like, listen, you just gotta like Star Wars or not. You just gotta decide. I'm like, no. No, I need this conversation. But yeah, it's I think they're insanely interesting. The whole dynamic is interesting. It's not so cut and dry on a lot of things, which I think is why they're allowed to like flourish as this like underling race, kind of, right?
Yep.
Yeah. It's because it is so ambiguous that like you can fry the bottoms of their feet. I mean, you're right. That was like, you know, Jabba the Hutt's thing, but like, I don't know, man. I feel like there maybe were other things where they were getting like droid torture, you know? But then it's like, yeah, I don't know, man. It's like, I guess you're just so bad that you torture your droids, but I don't know what the purpose is at the end of the day. But I don't know, man. I do appreciate you guys taking the time, though, and hearing my insane ramblings.
I loved every moment of it. It was so good.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, I gotta say. That was, we don't, usually when we talk to a guest, they come in and they're like, oh, what do you want to talk about? And we'll go over some news and we'll go over their history of Star Wars. You had a mission, a purpose, and Tim and I were like, we are here for it. This is a great conversation. And I have a feeling you're going to get tagged in a ton of replies, by the way, on Twitter and stuff. So just be prepared for the conversation to continue with our listeners, because they are like us. They love a good conversation about Star Wars that's outside the box and like something that maybe they've never thought of or something that's never been brought up to them. So definitely, you'll hear more.
I just want to say, too, with peace and love, that I love Star Wars. I love Star Wars conversation. I'm not talking shit or anything like that. Everybody be real kind with me. I am a Star Wars fan. I'm, you know, maybe not as connected and hooked in, so maybe I don't know the terminology as well as some of you guys, but I love it. And, you know, as long as conversation is peaceful and respectful, then I'm all about it. Because, yeah, I would love to get other people's perspective on this, maybe some other things that they like, even Tim at the end here, and he's like, actually he was working within the constraints of the, you know, like that thing. It's like, oh, we got to bring that back in. See, I love that, though. If somebody else has something they would like to add, you know, one way or the other, I'm happy to hear it. So
yeah, no, it's just don't go to TikTok. That's our rule. Like, don't read the TikTok.
Oh, yeah. Comments.
Everything else, every other platform, they're super nice, respectful. They want to have a conversation. Don't ever look at the
TikTok. Hi, TikTok. I love you.
It's don't scary, Dale. It's very scary.
It's scary.
Hello, thank you so much for joining us. It really was a pleasure, and I feel like this conversation is not over, so we're probably going to have you on again. You know who I want to bring on to continue this conversation, Tim? I want Ben to be here next time, because really want to get into like the psychological and like philosophical side, Ben is going to have a field day with that. So,
agreed.
Professor Broman, hello.
Yeah.
He will go absolutely bananas with that side of it. So maybe we'll have another conversation about this. But let the folks know where they can find you one more time, and all that fun stuff.
Twitch.tv/Elohim. Again, I swear I won't bring up the droid thing over there ever. You won't hear this ever again. Here. This is exclusive content. No. Really early in the morning, like I said, 4 a.m. Eastern time, 3 a.m., something like that. So if you're waking up really early or you got insomnia and you need somewhere to, you know, park the car, by all means, come on by. And thank you guys so much for letting me sort of hijack your thing.
This is
here
fun.
And, you know, come and swing in a little bit. I do appreciate it. So thank you for that.
Heck yeah.
Awesome. Thanks.
Always welcome.
And that is a wrap with Elohim.
Man, that was wild.
I didn't see that coming at all.
No. No, that was... Honest to God, Kevin, I am looking at droids in a whole new light. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't think about the Millennium Falcon in the way that we talked about. And I feel bad about the Millennium Falcon now. I have a lot of feelings towards droids that I didn't know existed.
I have thought about the droid slavery angle because of, I mentioned the flashpoint in SWTOR, like maybe I am the bad guy in all of this. Yeah. You know, I have had that thought,
fair.
I never got as deep as Elo just brought us.
Very deep. I mean, like, yeah, honestly, I feel like we should have a part two at some point. Again, like what you said, we're getting Professor Broman on and let them just go to town. Yeah. I just want to sit back with another fine glass of scotch and just listen.
Ben has some sort of Joseph Campbell explanation for all of this that we're going to need. So,
For sure. Yes.
Come back for that one. But hey, that's episode 154. Thank you so much for listening and with hanging out with us. We appreciate it as always. Make sure you head over to twitch.tv/darkness429, youtube.com/darkness429, tiktok.com/@symbol darkness429.
Nice. Good. I remember the at symbol. Good.
Yeah, because I've messed that up numerous times. And go hang out with Tim in all of the places. He's on Twitter, Instagram, you name it. But make sure you go hanging out with Tim. What's the plan for Thursday and Friday this week? Do you know yet? Because that's when people will be coming by to say hello.
Probably Fortnite and Magic. I'm going to be honest with you. It's probably going to be okay. Fortnite or Magic or both.
There's nothing wrong with that. And for the first time in a long time, I have something to promote because I announced that on December 4th, I will be returning to streaming.
Are you streaming everywhere, or are you streaming in one place? What's your plan?
Twitch, YouTube, and TikTok are what I'm focusing on. I'll be live on multiple platforms.
You can't just like you can't do your own thing. You've got to copy me, huh? This is ridiculous.
Market research. That's the best explanation I have for that.
Head over to twitch.tv/kmagic101. All right, or youtube.com/kmagic101, facebook.com/kmagic101. Twitch.tv/ is it K Magic?
You said that one.
Or TikTok. What's TikTok?
Yeah, it's K Magic.
Oh, good. Okay. I wasn't sure if there was a Kevin X Vision. You can follow him on Kevin X Vision on Twitter.
Some woman is squatting on my Twitter name. Zero followers, zero everything. I want it so bad so I can unify everything, but they're squatting on my name. So that's
darkness. But bind them together.
Monday, December 4th, 7 p.m. Eastern, I will be live for my first stream. I'm assuming it'll probably be just chatting that evening, and then we'll dive into some. Ben's talking about playing zombies with me. I got a bunch of people hitting me up to play games, so I'm going to be playing games with a lot of friends, because that's really the reason, the biggest thing that I missed was playing games with friends. So if Tim lets me, I'll probably play some games with him in the future too. He's gonna be like, no, not unless you play Magic.
Am I wrong? That's how I do it. That's how I get you to play Magic. Yeah, Kevin, you can only play games with me if you play Magic. Sorry.
As long as I can embarrass you in front of the entire internet.
You can only play Magic with me. Sorry. I just really love Magic the Gathering, and I want you to enjoy it too.
I will, but I need time, and I don't have, I barely have time to. I'm doing this to create more time to play video games, so maybe that'll work.
Oh, here it is. Here it is.
So, yeah.
All right.
So,
okay, fine. Yeah.
Anyway,
okay.
Make sure you follow us collectively. We're Star Wars and Scotch. Star Wars Scotch everywhere on the internet. Rate, review, subscribe. I just noticed today we have 128 five-star reviews on Spotify, so thank you for that. Again, we appreciate the support, and we really enjoy hanging out with you. We have how many more episodes for this year? We have, drum roll, the 6th, the 13th, and the 20th, and then we are off for a week, and then we come back to talk about Rebel Moon the first week of January. So, and I'm even taking a vacation.
Oh, well, look at that. He comes back to streaming and then takes a vacation again. This is ridiculous.
I was already looking into how I can remotely live stream with Mike and do some shenanigans.
This is ridiculous.
Well, I'm not full time. So.
Okay, Ninja, chill out.
I'm live everywhere. Tim, take us out.
May the force be with you.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save.